super pumped about the Pope's new name. Getting a new Pope. Super excited. Woo! Like, they did it. The Cardinals did it. I thought they would do it. It's not that I didn't think they would elect a Pope.
You doubted.
I did not. I was not doubting Thomas. I knew that would happen.
You ever see the movie Hook?
Yes.
Remember that one scene?
The Booba Box.
Where he calls, yeah, like, who doubted me? You doubted me.
I did. I doubted you.
In the Boo Boo Box.
Dude, that's like a traumatic thing, dude. As a kid.
No, because that was a movie we all saw when we were like 6 years old. And we were right. Like, oh no.
They lock you into a box and put scorpions in there.
They put you in a box and you're like, oh man, he's got to go in a box. And then they drop the scorpions in and you're like, ah!
Yeah, the worst. Yeah, but Pope Leo the 14th, dude.
Leo, dude.
Pope Leo the 14th.
The king.
And
the lion.
American, out of all the American Cardinals, he was a top two for me.
Yeah, of all the American Cardinals, he's like the one I didn't know about, which was good.
Which is good.
Yeah. I mean, he's not really been he's American, but he wasn't really an American Cardinal.
Right. But, I was gone all weekend.
Yeah, before you do this.
Yeah.
I know that you're not a prophet.
Okay? Correct.
But if you were. What kind of pope will he be?
I actually do speak the truth at times.
And how long will his pontificate last?
What
kind of pope will he be, and how long will his pontificate last?
I hope that he is a holy
pope.
No.
I'm asking you to be prophetic here.
I hope that a holy pope.
So you're saying he is a holy pope?
I'm hoping.
No. I'm going to ask. Yes. Really, I just want you to tell me the future.
A holy pope. Whose life lasts as long as thy will be done.
I really need a specific number.
I do not know that.
All right, well, we'll have to move on to other prophetic candidates over here.
Okay, that's fine. Jim's here.
Jim
is here tonight.
Jim, how many years will he be the Pope?
All of them.
25.
That's a long. He's how old? How old is he?
I don't know.
25 years is a long time.
It's like 68.
That's a long time.
It's a long time.
Yeah. So he will be Pope for all of them that he has.
One can hope.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe he.
Yeah. I think that we need to, like, I know Benedict retired. I liked Benedict. But I think retiring sets a bad precedent. I don't like the notion of a Pope retiring.
You know who else agrees with you?
Pope Benedict?
Dante.
Dante definitely agrees with me in the strongest way.
Yes. So I was gone all weekend and I intentionally was not having my phone by me. I would like to dedicate this whole episode to Lady Haley. It's our anniversary tonight. And so for our anniversary.
Yeah, and you're here.
I decided to record the episode with you.
This is amazing. What a gift to her.
Super romantic. Yeah.
I would have never thought of that. What a gift.
I know. Well, you're not a romantic.
Not like, yeah. Gosh.
You have a lot to learn from me still. You've learned a lot.
Clearly.
But you still have a lot more.
This is proof.
Yes. So Haley and I kind of had a little excursion by ourselves this last weekend to celebrate. And I intentionally did not bring my phone with me around. Because I just did not want to get hooked on. I knew the conclave was happening. I knew the odds are we're going to have a new pope here pretty soon. But I was just not willing to ruin that time with my phone.
You didn't want like a pope to ruin your...
Well, it's my deep-seated
tendencies.
Yeah. Knowing that I would be distracted. So I didn't have it with me. And at the end of the night, you know, I would check my phone, make sure everything was, you know, everything was good at home, check everything. And the first thing I see was an American Pope. And my heart just sunk.
No.
I was like, no, you gotta be kidding me. I almost like just put my phone in. I was like, no, I'm not letting this ruin my vacation.
An American, because the first thing you hear is an American Pope from Chicago.
And you're like...
What? They made soup inch Pope. I pray for him, but I would not have wanted him to be a Pope.
No. But I'm super pumped. He picked Leo the 14th. I'm a big Pope Leo the 13th fan. I named one of my children
yes,
after
so
him.
So I was trying to remember if he was the one. I couldn't remember which Leo that you named
Leo after. My fourth child, Leo Thomas. Leo after Pope Leo.
The 13th.
The 13th.
Okay.
And then Thomas out of Thomas Aquinas, who Pope Leo the 13th like asked that we all turn back to the Thomistic thought.
Yeah.
And also was a lover of our mother, wrote the most encyclicals from a Marian perspective in history.
Pretty strong.
Wrote, you know, beautiful,
Rerum Novarum. Yeah, I mean, he...
Casti Canubi.
He definitely, Leo the 13th had a very powerful influence at an important time for the church,
in
America.
He's also the first pope to be videoed.
Really?
Yes.
I saw that this week.
Yeah, he is the first pope to be videoed.
That's very cool.
Which is very cool.
And Pope Leo the 14th has a Tulsa connection.
That's correct, yeah. So he was a board member of Casha Hall, which is a Catholic preparatory school here. That's
The Augustinian school here in Tulsa. He was on the board of directors for a couple of years. And so he's been here many times.
So super cool to have a pope that has a connection
with
Tulsa.
Yeah, so he's like basically a Tulsa boy. We're counting him. Look, if the Cubs are claiming him, even though he's backfired, but he's not a Cubs fan. He's a White Sox fan. His brother made that very clear. Right away, they were like, we have a new pope from Chicago and he's a Cubs fan. And then they had to be like, oh.
He's a White Sox fan.
Yeah, actually, he's not a Cubs. He's not a Cubs fan. So they had to walk back. But we're in Tulsa. He's basically from Tulsa.
Yeah. So I'm super excited to have him as Pope just from his name perspective alone. Yeah. Obviously, I'm just excited to see what his thought process is.
Right. Yeah. You know,
how he wants to lead the church.
It is interesting to see. And, you know, he was elected probably on the fourth ballot, just based on the timing of everything that. That's really quick. And that shows obviously a big consensus. Right. You know, they didn't have to do, there was very little politicking
going on. I'm not going to repeat a lot of the things that I heard today because I talked to several journalists today. And it's like, I don't know how you know this. And you're not going to tell me because you have sources and you can't tell me the sources, right? And I'm not going to ask because that's just, the code, like, you know, it's like, listen, I have to either trust you or I don't. But it's like some of this is the cardinals are, you know, pledging an oath on like excommunication that they're not going to repeat any of this.
Right.
And yet somehow
we know a lot about it.
You know a lot about what's going on inside. I don't know how that works. I actually don't want to know that. I feel like that's a vice of curiosity for me personally. I'm not saying that's for everybody else.
I think you're totally right about
that. But it's like, I don't know. I don't care. I'll find out on the other side of the veil, hopefully, you know, in heaven. I feel like that there's still a lot of politicking going on. I think one of the most politicking aspects of this whole world is when the Pope...
And to be fair, politics kind of have a bad name, but in and of themselves, politics are good.
Right, for the polls, yeah.
Yeah.
But
so it's just interesting to see, you know, he's a canon lawyer... in many ways, there's several things about him, and I'm not at all trying to predict what kind of pope he's going to be, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know the guy. You know, none of us really do.
Right.
Well, some people know him, but I don't. But, you know, there are certain things that kind of stick out about him that do seem to be the kind of the opposite of Francis. There's a lot of things that he shared in common.
I'll tell you
Francis.
One thing. I loved that he sang the Regilicelli. Outside,
like right off the bat,
it's like that was beautiful, and he's also a good singer, so that also helps, right? I'm just
clearly
excited.
Very intelligent, you know, many languages,
right? So I'm very excited. This is an exciting time. It's hopeful. So that's awesome.
Yes, and also the Malachi prophecy is over.
It's done.
It's dead.
Okay.
Don't. There are already people saying, like, no, Benedict didn't count because he resigned before. You know, it's like, You're making up the rules now. You're just making up rules.
Goalposts are moving.
That's right. Don't get to do that. You go to the corner and stop talking.
Right.
The Malachi prophecy
is dead.
It's not a thing.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah. It was fun while it lasted, and now it's over.
Yeah.
But yes, very exciting.
Good, great time to be Catholic.
About the Pope.
If you are not Catholic and you're considering becoming Catholic, this is the time to do it. The church is much better with you in it, and it's just a great time to be Catholic. In a world full of rebellion against Orthodoxy, like, now is the time to be it.
Yes, and we're going to be there in October.
That's right.
At the papal audience on a Wednesday audience.
That's right. We're going to get a chance to listen to Pope Leo the 14th on a Wednesday audience.
So
I'm super pumped.
I'm going to ask you to be a prophet again. Will Carlo Acutis have been canonized by October when we get there?
No.
You think no? I'm going to say yes.
I hope you're right. I'm just going to say no because I just know how slow the church is.
Yeah. I have no insight, but I'm gonna put my money on yes.
I hope you're right.
I know. Right? Like, come on. First of all, he's already there. He's already in Assisi.
Right.
He's blessed. He's still blessed.
Right.
But
I hope yes.
We want him to be Saint Carlo Acutis.
I want whatever the Lord wants.
Yeah, I want the Lord to want what I want.
And we're talking about humility
and
tonight.
And that I want that too. Or something.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. Jimbo Baggins is with us. We're drinking a whiskey tonight, a product of Kalila. Well, it's actually a product of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society, but it is a Kalila whiskey. It's an 11-year. This is my brand right here. What do you, Jim? What on the yummy scale?
Slurping oysters, though.
Okay, so the notes are, it says big smoky notes, merry, with a sweeter side and a hint of spice. Diluted, we slurp an oyster with a smoky, zesty, and sweet chili dressing. That's what it says. I don't have any water to add to it, so obviously I'm not getting any oysters, because it said with water. Diluted, we slurp an oyster. It means you add water.
Okay.
So on the yummy scale, Jim, 3.89, rounded to a 3.89.
Mm. So I haven't told you guys this yet. Actually, I did. Been kind of waiting to.
You checking your phone to see if you told me something?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm not sure if it actually went through or not while I was gone.
I did get one of your text messages 7 times.
Oh, really?
Yes, we did.
Oh, okay. Well, so it kept saying that right there.
Yeah. I got that one 7 times.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I would love to hear you tell the story, though.
So I did something while I was in Mexico. I crashed a wedding.
In Mexico.
I did it. And it was an Indian wedding.
An Indian wedding.
Yes.
In Mexico.
Dude, this guy, I never thought of this. Don't know why. Wish I would have. If you're a man thinking about getting married, here's some thoughts that you should maybe put together. Grab a pen and paper. He rode around the resort before going to, obviously, let me caveat, go get married in the church. Do that.
Definitely, okay. Definitely. That's
go
the,
get married to the
official
in the
stance of the Catholic Man Show is yes. that you need to be right. have a sacramental marriage in the Catholic Church.
So approaching to into the church, he rode around in a car like this super fancy car convertible with his all of his groomsmen and friends in the front, and so they were leading the pack. The car was behind him. He had a hype man there. With like huge, massive speakers and a microphone, and the guy was like, you know, hyping everybody up and 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, you know, and like everybody would get all excited and jump and dance and like music everywhere, and they had like, you know, guys playing the drums, and like it was just boom, 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 you know, everybody was like, just, you know, going crazy, dancing, you know, having fun, preparing for the grooms to go to get married. And Hayley and I are like, what is going on? And so, like, we walk over there, and we're just, like, kind of standing. Like, so everybody's, like, lined up kind of watching all of this, right? Because it's there's a spectacle. It's, yeah. It's impressive.
Over the top.
Yeah, way over the top. Everybody's dressed in very fancy clothes.
I mean, you have a hype man.
You have a freaking hype man walking in, you know, to be approached.
We are at a whole
another level.
Level.
Why did we not think about having a hype man?
Dude, I don't know. I mean, it's so, like... And I'm picturing basically a really good DJ who just follows you around.
That's what he's doing. And he's like basically getting everybody excited and like, you know, everybody scream.
He'd be like, what if you could get Kevin Hart as your hype man DJ? Like he would be an incredible hype man.
It was like whenever a heavyweight boxer is approaching the ring and they have the ring walk, you know, and there's like, he's like walking in, there's like three hype men in the front. They're all, you know, rapping or singing or whatever, and there's tons of posse people, and then he's coming in parading into the car. Anyway, that's what it was like.
Yeah.
And so we're just like watching this incredible. Again, remember, I didn't really have my phone with me up. I did have it at this point. Haley did not, thanks be to God. One of the guys in the wedding party grabs my arm and pulls me in and says, let's go. And like I'm okay, let's go.
You got it, buddy.
And so like I'm in this wedding video because they have like three cameramen going all around the whole time videoing this. And I'm in the middle and I am dancing my face off with everybody around me. You know, dancing for the groom who's in the car with the-
Were you like doing like palms up like-
I was doing
chest
all,
shaking.
I was doing
like
everything.
A very like Indian dance.
I was pulling everything out that I had,
yeah.
Which isn't much, to be honest. Like
I started two-stepping with another dude for a second.
There was
realized,
a lot of
keep going.
A lot of repetitive moves.
Yeah.
Right. I haven't had to dance like this.
He's doing the dice thing a little too much.
Yeah. But yeah. So I basically was a part of this wedding, like I'm in this dude's wedding videos all up and down, and we're going up and down, and finally they pull Haley into. Haley and I are dancing in the middle, you know, and we're following them basically all the way to where they're going to get married, and we realize this is our time to break away. Like I don't want to actually be in this wedding. Like this,
it's probably pretty sure it's not a Catholic
it's
wedding.
It's not a Catholic wedding. I'm not sure what my obligation is here. Also, like. I was just like watching, you know, right. And so we kind of broke away really quick and we were able to watch it from afar, you know, just to kind of see what happened. But dude, it was pretty epic. I have not officially crashed a wedding.
It sounds
like that.
Very fun.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. And also just having a hype man was, I don't know. You paid the guy $300. I don't know how much you paid a hype man. I don't know what the hype man going rate is, but.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you had to bring him from India, it's probably going to be more than
$300,
but, you know.
It was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, also,
As somebody who didn't have to pay for it.
For you, yeah. Happened to be there. I feel like if you have a hype man, you know, in a wedding in another country, like, yeah, you're going to get a lot of people in your video that you don't know who they are.
Right.
Because you were parading down the street.
I'll tell you that I'm pretty prominent in the video, so...
Well, I mean, we'll see how the editing comes out.
I think that I'll be in it a lot. So we'll see. I'm anxious to see what the internet says.
I was actually one of the groomsmen for a brief period, and look, it all happened so fast, okay?
But it was a lot of fun, dude. It was pretty fun.
That sounds like a great story.
I would never do that in a million years, like, outside of this situation.
Next time you tell that story, just say that you were in Tijuana. I just feel mm-hmm. like that adds, there's a whole element of chaos. I've never been to Tijuana. I have no idea what it's like there. It may be just a lovely place, but I just feel like if you're telling a story about something crazy that happened, and
did you get
say,
this? Did you get this one?
I didn't get that one.
So we also went to like we were leaving Cancun. We're at Cancun Airport, and there's this place called Sushi Tequila.
Sweet.
And I was like, I'm not sure those two things go together.
Let's go find out.
I'm not sure those.
I think that sounds like a bad combination. Let's find out.
Yeah. We didn't go. No, we didn't. We didn't go. But I was just like, Sushi Tequila. Not two things I'm putting together.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yes.
12 years?
13.
13.
Dude, lucky I'm number. About to embark on my last year in my 30s.
Yeah, dude.
Can you believe that?
I mean,
that's crazy.
I feel like we were just talking about this on the show about like turning
30.
Did we start in our 20s, right? We were in our 20s when we started the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Bro.
I know.
When do you hang it up? I don't know. Like, I don't know. We're just still doing it. We're still going.
You guys are still listening. This is your fault.
I do blame them. I mean, it's definitely not my fault, okay? It's Jim's fault.
I think
there's let's be honest, there is a strong possibility that this is Jim's fault.
I agree.
I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying that there is a strong possibility.
It is. Yeah.
That this whole thing is Jim's fault.
Yeah. I was going to go against the grain there, and I was like, no, I can't.
Mm.
I feel like the...
It just, yeah. Because prudence comes in at some point. Right. And you realize, like, you just have to agree with what, you know, when you hear that ring of truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You know what? Actually, you're right.
Dang it.
It's probably Jim's fault. When we invite, and when we asked Jim to be a board member of our Catholic radio station here in Tulsa,
the first thing
he had all of these questions, like, all right, before I say yes, I just need to know I'm not here to be the fall guy. Both Adam and I were thinking, like, that's not why we asked you.
That's a great...
But that is a good plan
B. We had not thought about that.
Because, yeah, let's be honest, this is a new thing for us. Not sure how this is going to go. Or even what the legal ramifications might or might not be. No, Jim, you're not a fall guy.
You're the whipping boy, though.
You know what? You weren't going to be a fall guy. Now you might be.
Yeah. He said yes. He's still on the board.
Jim, you should get a hype guy.
Mm.
You know what? I'm pretty sure Kevin Hart actually played a hype man in the movie Scary Movie 2. I'm pretty sure.
Not sure I saw that.
He actually was
that quality film.
A hype man.
I'm not sure I saw that quality film.
At a rap battle.
Maybe so.
Yeah, it's definitely not a quality film.
Right. I do think at one point, though, if you are wealthy enough for just like a week, or that may be too long, you may get tired of that. Let's say a day and see how it goes. And be like, I just want a hype man.
Oh, to get follow a hype man around. For a day.
Just follow me around
for
a day.
Yeah, it would be so annoying.
It would be, yeah, that's why. But I think it'd be fun. Well, I take that back. Maybe for an hourly basis.
I think if you're like going to like a dance off or a rap battle or like some sort of competition,
the mall.
Then having a hype man would be awesome.
Just go to the
if you're in like
mall,
a wedding parade.
Just looking for some Carhartts on sale in the outlet mall.
What?
Yeah. Be freaking awesome.
You're listening to the Catholic Man Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're going to talk about humility this evening. There's a lot of ways in which you can grow in humility. There have been many saints that have spilt a lot of ink over the topic of humility. There's even saints who have given step-by-step directions on how to grow in humility. I think Bellarmine even wrote a 10 steps of how to grow in humility.
Yes.
And I did it in 7.
Just let that soak in. I want to tell you a story.
Good, we haven't had any stories tonight.
I actually do want to tell you a story.
Okay. This is for us anyway.
The story is actually not about humility.
I'll be the judge.
Okay. I would appreciate your feedback, actually, afterwards. About 1,200 years ago, in Italy.
Okay.
There was a monk whose name is unknown.
Okay.
He was celebrating the holy sacrifice of the Mass in a little town called Lanciano. Really fun name. It's up there with Francisco. You could Lanciano. It's just, you could say that over and over. It's
fun name.
It's got a nice hit to it.
Like Broken Arrow.
Yeah. Exactly. This monk, a lot like a story I told you recently from another town in Orvieto, was struggling with his belief in the real presence of the Eucharist. Once again, the monk's name is unknown. But as he said the words of consecration, "This is my body and this is my blood," the host that he was holding turned into flesh. Boom. The whole thing. And the chalice turned into blood. Like, visibly, that ain't wine. That is blood, right? Obviously, big deal. Over time, the chalice of wine...
Obviously, big deal. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It coagulated into 5 clots that are still preserved to this day. The Franciscans have taken possession, and they're still clots of blood from 1,200 years ago. The host.
The Franciscans what?
They, like, the relics, these, they, like, they...
Oh, they kept them.
Took, yeah,
possession. Ownership of them.
Yeah, and, like, custody.
Interesting, from the Franciscans.
Yeah. Oh, because they don't own
poverty.
Anything?
Yeah.
Well, it's not money. I feel like, anyway... the host that turned into flesh is still on display 1,200 years later in 1978 and 77, and then again in 1987, scientific studies were done on this host. They were, take a small sample, and the scientists determined that the flesh was still living tissue. Heart tissue, from the ventricle of the heart.
And it's 1,200 years later.
Yes,
or almost.
And this is this is
40 years.
It's
ago.
In your Adam. It's in your lifetime.
Yeah, your time too.
I mean, but it's in your lifetime.
Sure. Yeah. Jim was old at that point.
Like, definitely in Jim's lifetime.
Yeah.
Jim, were you born in the Great Depression?
What year were you born, Jim?
Was the Dust Bowl still happening? Oh, you before the Dust Bowl.
The 60s.
You're born in 1960? That's not that long ago. Dude, someone is telling me a story as a teacher who this is a total sidebar. Their student asked if they were allowed to quote a source from the 1900s. And she's like, "Well, yeah." And then it was from 1991. It was a source from 1991. But this, fifth grader's like, "Are we allowed to quote a source from the 1900s? And she was like, "Oh my gosh. 1991. Technically from the 1900s. Okay, anyway. So, yes, living tissue, the miracle in Lanciano, that the flesh is not, it's not like dead flesh after 1200 years. It's still alive. And they've been able to do all kinds of scientific studies. Like they know, and there's been other Eucharistic miracles where stuff like this has happened, where they've said, all right, this flesh is a heart tissue from someone who died under torture, you know, under like
extreme distress. Yeah,
exactly. And so it's just amazing that this, I mean, it's 1200 years old. This piece of flesh, it should be long gone, and it's still living tissue. So, I mean, like, these kinds of miracles, they're great for Catholics, but these are the kinds of things that we need to be talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, because there are almost no scientific explanations. The only scientific explanation that is offered is that the chain of custody is unknown.
And it's also a brute fact.
Well, okay, so if you're an atheist and you're saying, oh, but the chain of custody, you can't prove to me. So it's like, okay, your argument is that this isn't the same. It's a big fraud. And that we just went out and killed a dude right before we did these, you know, like we knew the scientists were going to come to check to see if this flesh is still living. And in order to trick everybody, we took a homeless dude out back, murdered him, and took like a slice of his heart and stuck it in there right before the scientists came in. Like, that's what you're, I mean, like, that's the chain of custody argument. That's what it boils down to. Okay, so, but anyway, we are going to celebrate Mass in the chapel with the Eucharistic miracle of Lanciano. Okay, so this is like, you know, and this is going to be so cool. But I also want to just remind everybody, like, ontologically, this is no different from any other Mass, right? Like, mm-hmm. when the Eucharist that you receive is the body, soul, body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord, just like this Eucharistic miracle is. But, you know, the Lord gives us these things. Anyway, it's going to be awesome. We're going to be there in Lanciano this October in the room celebrating Mass in front of these Eucharistic miracles. So we want you to come with us.
You and your spouse.
Yeah, men and women. Everybody is welcome to come.
Jim's coming. Kathy. Maybe. He'll be there.
Jim's coming.
Yeah, he'll be there.
He's shaking his head, but he already gave us his blood oath that he would come.
Yeah. There's other people who've signed up because Jim's coming.
Yeah.
So.
Like half the people, Jim. Because you were coming. So this is the first. This head shake I'm getting.
This is raw.
Jim, next time you wait to shake your head until
be like, hey guys, by the way,
segment's over or something. Anyway, let's go to Google Catholic Mancho pilgrimage.
It's hard for me to get out of this funk.
Right, bro. I mean,
okay. Let's, in all humility,
we should carry on.
Okay.
So I did want to talk about humility. This is, once again, I'm pulling from a book we mentioned the other day called Solid Virtue.
Yes.
By a priest, Balekius. He's got a great name. He's a priest with a great name. Balekius S.J.
Balakius.
Balake. Balakius. I just think that this book is so great. So this is the 3 degrees of humility, or what he calls it. And I want to talk about it today. And what he gives each degree, and then he gives like motives that would, or like things to encourage us to pursue this particular degree of humility. Because
the third degree?
All of them. Oh, so each one.
Do they build upon each other?
They do. In fact, it's kind of the same thing at the next level, right? So it's
gotcha.
Like,
yeah.
So he says that the first degree of humility consists in giving ourselves entirely to the observance of the divine law.
Obedience.
Yes, just strict obedience. That he says that so much so that even if the dominion of the whole world were offered to us and that our lives were threatened with the greatest dangers, we would not deliberately transgress any divine or human precept, which obliges us under pain of mortal sin. So that, basically that's no matter what.
This is what the devil like tempted our Lord, right? In the desert.
Yeah, very much.
He basically, did this. Humility is so interesting to talk about because it's a tough virtue. It's the mother of all virtues. It's basically that virtue in which orients us towards love, the love of God, right? And the desire to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul, right? Mm-hmm. And with all our with all of our strength. And it's very difficult to understand if you're growing in this virtue, because the more that you think about, am I growing in this virtue? Oh, now I'm so humble. Oh, nope, that's actually pride. And so it's hard to gauge, right? Because you can gauge a lot of different virtues on your progress, so to speak. Right,
like honesty.
Yeah, it's like, listen, I have not lied to anybody.
Pretty clear cut, yeah.
Right? And so it's like very easy to decipher, I am growing in the virtue of honesty.
Right.
Humility is a little different insofar as the more that you know, it's not about, you know, the whole C.S. Lewis quote, it's not thinking about yourself less,
it's not about thinking less of yourself.
Less of yourself, it's thinking about yourself less. Yes, thank you.
Okay, let's pause there.
Okay.
Because I want to pick that exact point up when we get back. Because this is one of my pet peeves.
Good. Okay. We'll talk about this on the other side of the break.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. Jim Spencer's also here, who I'm mad at. That's okay. I forgive you, Jim. I'm just still mad at you. It's very humble of me to admit that on air. Just want everyone to know that. But we were talking before the break about this C.S. Lewis quote. It's at least attributed to him. Maybe he actually said it.
Rick Warren, I think, also has made a big deal about
You know, humility isn't about thinking less of yourself. It's about thinking about yourself less, thinking of yourself less.
Right.
And that's not at all what humility is. I recently, just this weekend, we had a new family to town over for dinner, Ron and his wife, Christina Sanchez. He is the headmaster of the new Tulsa Classical Academy. It's a public school here in Tulsa. But
Tulsa has it going on.
Dude, we like the classical education here in Tulsa over the last couple of years has, I don't know, gone up by infinity percent. Or maybe, probably not infinity, because there was actually a couple, but there's a lot of options now. It's really great. But anyway, he and I were talking about humility and about how the humble man actually thinks about himself all the time. The humble man is always thinking about himself, because he thinks about himself in a right order. Okay, humility isn't about not thinking about yourself, but it's about thinking rightly about yourself. And the only way that you will ever be able to do that is to spend time pondering who you are, you know, like coming to know yourself in a real way. And the only way for you to do that is like think about yourself, like reviewing your conscience, examining your conscience. The humble man thinks about himself a lot, but he thinks about himself in the right way so that he might put himself in the right place. Because humility is not just like, oh, look how bad I am at everything. Because you're not bad at everything, you know?
I think the quote kind of is one step of a further progress of this understanding, right? Because if you understand that you're made for service of others, then you're actually not having, the more that you know yourself, the more you have to think less about yourself so that you can serve and give your life for others.
Well, I think the more you think about yourself, the more you realize how you are you ought to be outwardly oriented, right? And so that, by beginning with yourself, you end up, hopefully, if you're doing it well, serving other, you know, how can I be of service to people, right? But you can't have that thought if you don't start by pondering yourself.
think there's a relationship here of what people understand to be humility and meekness. Because when you think of meekness, you think of timidness, you think of like, oh, yeah, cowardly almost.
Or also like, totally backwards.
Which is not accurate as well, right? And so I think there's also this same temptation for humility to where you're thinking of yourself, you know, oh, I'm so bad at this, I'm so bad at that. It's not a confident man. And I think that that's just the wrong way to approach it, because I think that humility and confidence actually go hand in hand. Because confidence...
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, because confidence is... When you are confident on something, it's because you understand it to be the truth. Right? I am confident that my left hand is my left hand. There's nothing you can do to tell me that this is not my left hand. I'm confident this is my left hand because I know this to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have to worry.
Because you know your left from your right.
That's right. And that's what it's all about,
mm-hmm,
in the Hokey Pokey. And because I know that.
That is what it's all about.
Yeah. Because I know that, I have the confidence in it. Well, the same thing is true in truth itself, which we know that truth is a person, namely Jesus. So the more that you know him, the more that you are confident in who you are, right, called to be. And so you have this trust that you are growing in this, in humility, because this is the desire that you have. And so you don't have to worry necessarily about pride as much, because you're like, listen, this is my desire, is to grow in holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trusting and having my confidence placed in our Lord Jesus Christ and his Sacred Heart, that his will be done.
Right.
So I think that the humility and confidence is not opposed to one another, just like meekness and strength are not opposed to one another. There's this...
In fact, you can't be meek if you aren't strong.
Right, and you can't be holy if you are not humble.
Right.
You cannot be confident that you are a son of God without being humble.
Yeah, I might even say you can't be humble if you're not confident.
That's what I'm saying, because it's oriented and deep-rooted in truth.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it? It's like, it seems like a paradox. And there's probably some paradoxical things about it, but it's just, you know, these memes get floated around and just like, no, that's not what it is. Don't get your virtue advice from memes and like little quotes.
Oh yeah, that's true. So, unless it's Jose Maria Escrivá.
Yeah, but even then, maybe that's not what he said.
But it probably is, because he wrote in memes.
That's true. Yeah, he like really missed. He was so close. Twitter just wasn't there yet. Right. Anyway. So, but this first level is about giving yourself entirely. I think that's an important word, like giving yourself entirely to the observance of divine law.
That's like so impossible.
Right. But it's just surrendering that, you know, okay, basically, I'm not going to commit any mortal sins today.
Yeah. But that's not giving yourself entirely to divine law.
Okay. But he does say that you would be willing to, nothing could bribe me from, you know, you offer me the world, you know, oh, commit this mortal sin, I'll give you the world. No. Yeah,
but okay. Anytime you make that exchange anytime you commit a mortal sin.
Right. So yeah.
Anytime you make a venial sin, you actually commit that.
Well, at this level, he actually specifically outlines mortal sin. And some of the things that he talks about is he mentions like the grievousness of sin. And the enormity of the punishment inflicted on Lucifer and our first parents. And just, you know, so the things that we should be thinking about.
On Lucifer and our first, what?
He says, the enormity of the punishment inflicted on Lucifer, on our first parents, and the severity of that which Christ himself endured.
Okay, that was not what you said.
Lucifer is not our first parent.
Or the suffering of our first parent.
Right, but they did suffer.
Yeah, but tradition has it they're in heaven.
They are in heaven now. That is correct. So the second level of humility, second degree, is consists in feeling the same inclination towards riches or poverty, to honor or ignominy, to a long or short life, so much that no human felicity, not even life itself, could ever induce us to commit, I do not say a mortal sin, but even the slightest venial sin.
Okay, so the first one is you're not willing to give up any power, riches, or anything of worldly possessions to commit a mortal sin.
You won't break the divine law.
Yeah, you won't. And the second one is you won't do it for venial sin.
The second one is really that you would be indifferent towards riches or poverty, short life, like
a holy indifference.
Yes, I have a holy indifference towards both of these things. Yeah, and holy, he says, you know, that's one of the things, we have to be holy indifferent. That all of these things, whatever, whether it's a long life or short life, whatever, that they're only means to arrive at the end for which we're created. They are means useful only in as much as they bring us to those ends. So riches, right. Poverty, and like, so I think getting to this first degree of humility is probably where most of us are. You know,
just try not to commit mortal sin.
I mean, yes, like I am observing the divine law. I mean, I think that's hopefully that's a place you can get to. Getting to a point where you're like actually totally indifferent to whether you have wealth or poverty, long life or short life, whether you have suffering or good health, you know, that's
an advanced stage in the spiritual life to me.
That sounds really hard.
Right.
And
it's a mature spiritual life, in my opinion.
So I just wanted to share this. This is just when I read this, it hit hard, okay?
Okay.
He says, search Jerusalem now with lamps, and see how great is your horror of venial sin. Ask yourself, if by a little lie I could avert either troublesome poverty, great disgrace, dangerous sickness, death itself, or obtain a large sum of money, a distinguished employment, or a long life, would I not commit this sin? Just by a little lie. Oh, just tell a little lie and you'll be rich. Or you'll have honor. Or you'll avoid disgrace. Am I equally satisfied to be despised or to be honored? To live in poverty or in abundance? To be in the vigor of health or to be on the point of death? What does your conscience answer?
That's like the litany of humility almost.
Yeah. When I read that, it was just like, man. Because, you know, you think about, oh, I'm going to offer you, you know, you have to like, do, you know, commit mm-hmm. some sin. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. But it's like, what if it's just a little lie?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if it's just the smallest thing? It seems like such a little, you know, it kind of reminds me of like, oh, just burn a pinch of incense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great, yeah. The more that I have read the saints, the more I realize just the importance of having a strong spiritual vision. It's clear.
Mm. It's a good word.
But we're out of time on Catholic Radio. Thank you to all the Catholic radio stations that carry the Catholic Man Show. I can't believe you guys still do, but I appreciate it. We'll be on the podcast. Check us out. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Raise your glass.
So the third level of humility. You want to follow up on that?
Well, I just wanted to say, like, in order to be able to even have that sense of I'm not willing to even put a little pinch of incense or just a little bit of a lie, your spiritual vision has to be just 20 out of 20, right? 25 out of 20, whatever your analogy is here, right? That it has to be so clear to you, which is hard in today's world that strives to muddy the water, that strives to distract you, that strives to bring you down, to make you feel like you're isolated and alone and struggling with certain sins that you feel like that maybe no one else is struggling with, even though you know, there are other people that are, to the point where you feel like, oh, I am the only one, you know, like I am struggling with this by myself.
Mm, right.
But the spiritual vision of this is saying like, no, I'm made to be a son of the Father. That I'm made to be a saint. That I'm made to share the gospel, to be, you know, to proclaim the good news, And everything that I do in this life has ramifications for eternity. That was almost like the gladiator, what you do in this life echoes in eternity. That's not what I meant to.
I liked it, though.
That was pretty close to that. I don't know why I did that, but.
It was. I'm not gonna lie. It was working on me.
But it's just saying, like, listen. We have a short amount of time here in this life. We talked about time management in one of our recent episodes, talking about like the importance of like time is a gift, and everything that we do in this life is very precious because everything that we've been given the opportunity to do is a gift that we have not been earned, but has been freely given to us. To only give back to our Lord to glorify Him, right? And so,
right,
that is what we're made for. And so, when you have that understanding of the teleology, the end goal of what you are made for, the end of man, what is going to make you happy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so I think that goes. That's a good. I think that really complements what he's saying here about being indifferent. Towards rich, whether you're rich or poor, okay? Because it's like, well, how can I serve the Lord? How is He asking me? Because some people the Lord does ask to serve Him with their wealth, wealth is...
St. Catherine Drexel is a great example.
Boom, perfect, right? That He actually gives this vocation of wealth, riches, honor, prestige to some people so that they might serve the church in that way.
St. Louis the Ninth.
Another great example, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of examples, yeah.
I mean, just like...
There's a lot of people who didn't live up to that standard, right? But just this idea of being indifferent towards it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that...
In order to have that, you have to understand the truth of why you're made. And by living in this truth, you can grow in humility and understanding that I can't do this on my own, that everything that has been like given to me... And this moment has been like given to me by my Creator, and that is humility.
Right. You're right. I just like, it's been kind of haunting me ever since I read that little short passage about a little white, like, you know, okay, if I put a piece of blue paper in front of you, if it's like, all I want you to do is say, this is a red piece of paper.
This is like The Hidden Life.
That's it. That's right. Did you watch it?
Dude, I have not watched it yet.
Bro!
But you thought I had. And you got excited for a second, didn't you?
I, when we're done, am going to punch you in the face. It's going to be an act of humility for you.
For me.
Okay.
What about Jim? What's the punishment for Jim thus far? Have we decided that
well,
yet?
Well, first of all, we're just going to reprimand Jim.
Oh, okay.
Because he's just wrong about some things.
Okay.
We're going to do some fraternal correcting.
Okay.
We're going to punch you in the face.
But I agree with you.
Boom.
Okay.
Out of three. It's quorum.
That is great. That's exciting.
All in favor? Aye.
Yeah, there's a lot of hands.
All
up.
Opposed? Mm, the ayes have it.
Mm.
And so will yours. Anyway, that was a good joke, right?
That was a good one. I did like that. What's the third one?
The third one is
third degree.
The third degree of humility, yes, is similar to the second. I'm sorry,
which is similar to the first.
Well, sort of. The first is that, you know, I'm not going to commit a mortal sin. You, no matter what you offer me, I will not break the divine law.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is that
whatever you offer me, I will not.
You're already doing that.
I will not break the divine law.
Each degree
in a less severity
presupposes the last. So the second one is that no matter what happens to me, I have total indifference towards wealth, and I wouldn't do, even for a venial sin, I wouldn't do anything, right? So the third one consists in choosing, so it's the third one abandons indifference. The third degree of humility consists in our choosing poverty, contempt, disgrace, in preference to wealth, honor, and reputation, in order that we may thus more closely follow our Lord, who was poor, dishonored, and despised. So it's actually the third degree of humility. In the second degree, you give up your preference of wealth, over poverty,
mm-hmm.
for indifference. In the third degree, you develop the preference for poverty over wealth, which at first seems like, come on, is this like, it's is this, it seems like a strong hand of humility. But when you think about people like St. Francis, people like St. Catherine Drexel, like you mentioned, what did they do? They preferred poverty.
They give it away now.
And they reached this point where they felt compelled, like they wanted the poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which is something that you see in a lot of the saints who have.
But Angelica thought that.
About being poor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a sister, like, poor Claire.
Yeah.
But
so, and it's just interesting to read about this.
It's such a high level degree, right? I mean, like, talk about humility where, because this is just a complete denial of self, a complete, like, surrender of self and self-worth, almost, like, understanding, like, whatever thy will be done. And it's so hard to do as a husband who, like, has mouths to feed, mm-hmm. has, like...
Okay, so let's pump the brakes.
Okay.
If I may.
Yeah, pump them.
I'm getting negative vibes from you here, bro.
No. I'm just saying it's difficult.
Oh, it's totally difficult.
And it's like easy for us to sit there and be like, the third degree of humility.
Yeah. You know, I totally, like, and even talking about St. Francis and St. Catherine,
yeah, it's like,
who are all celibate.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I have other people who rely on me to.
Absolutely. As a family man, the expression of this kind of thing is totally different.
It may look different, but the mentality is the same, right? It's like, listen, I don't have to have this dinner out with customers. I don't have to have lunch out with whoever. I don't have to, like, stop off and grab something at the gas station because I have to fill up with gas. I don't have to go in and buy something just because I'm filling up with gas. It's, I don't have to, you know, it's just a denial of material goods
mm-hmm.
for thyself, because knowing that those material goods will not satisfy you deeply.
In fact, they will train you poorly. They will train you wrongly.
Right, because your endorphins, you know, yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, they form actually the wrong habits. And I totally agree that when you read stuff like this, it does kind of seem like, look, all right, I'm never going to, all right, this, it just seems almost ridiculous, out of reach.
Right.
But that is just not the right, that's not the right attitude. And I think it's important to stay in touch with these kinds of things. Like, when you read the saints, this is one of the reasons it's helpful, is to see, like, oh, actually, you know, that is the excellence. That is what I am striving for. The last thing I want to do is just be aiming too low. I mean, if it is true that I will never hit what I'm aiming for, like, well, I actually still want to aim in the right place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, you know, I want to be as holy as I can be.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that I may not achieve perfection in this life. I am a firm believer that a human being in this life can actually achieve perfection by God's grace.
Of course.
This is like a major difference between Catholics and Protestants. That the Catholic faith actually says, no, God's grace is capable of helping someone achieve perfection in this life, in this imperfect world,
mm-hmm.
right? That yep. because we're not just covered over by snow, that actually by God's grace, we are transformed.
Yeah. No, I think that's, so the two things that I have found to be the quickest factors of growth in virtue and holiness, there's two things that I, that, like, personally, this is anecdotal, like, that I have found to be a difference maker for me. Living in the state of grace. And the second one is change the people that that you live with. Change the people that you surround yourself with. Change your community. Like, if you're in a rut and you're like, man, I just cannot get past this sin, or I cannot get past, it's like, well, check out all of your friends. Look at the people that you surround yourself with. Who do you do business with? Who do you associate with on Friday nights? Who are you texting with? And if you don't see those people as holy people, if you don't see those people that are worthy of emulating or at least worthy of like holding to high esteem, desiring to be more like them, you need to decide, in my opinion, like this is just me. This is how I have lived, and like I'm becoming more and more convicted of this. You need to decide, like, is this worth me just cutting ties? And like what, at what level do I desire to live a virtuous life?
Right. Not that it would be these. It's not this other person's fault that you're not becoming holy.
No.
But there is. You just have to realize that, like, well, you're the one choosing to hang out with maybe this person.
And this happens in the natural. Like, think about it in the business life. Like, think about it just
that's
in...
That's exactly... This in, is... Yes, exactly.
Think about it in the business life. If you surround yourself with guys who are underachievers, who are just trying to get by, who are just trying to collect a paycheck, who are just trying to...
To get through the day.
You're inevitably going to start having that mind frame.
Right.
If you surround yourself with guys who... desire to have excellence, who desire to be to have the virtue of magnanimity, whether they know that virtue or not, but they desire to do things well.
Because those successful people, they think about their work and their day in a totally different
way. Totally different way.
It's a completely different mindset.
It's an order of life.
And you won't adopt their winning mindset unless you spend time with them.
That's exactly right.
Unless you read their books. And like hang out with them.
I came to this realization way too late in life, to be honest. Like,
sooner than some,
because it was very difficult for me to cut ties with other people.
But you know, you and I have also both experienced that in our lives, in our own personal lives, about changing who we hang out with.
And it's hard. It's
like,
difficult.
I'm still
to do.
Trying to hang to like.
It's difficult
not spend
to do.
Time with you.
I know, but here you are.
Yeah, it's like
that. 9 years into this podcast.
I know. You know, I've had some wins. I'm still waiting on some other wins to come.
I've had a lot of losses.
To come through, right?
Yeah. I get it.
They're not losses. They're just, you know, like, delay.
Yeah.
That win just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
But I would add a third one. So you said...
living in the state of grace.
Living in a state of grace, who you're spending time with. And I would add, what is your form of entertainment? Like, how are you entertaining yourself in life? What are your entertainment habits?
So I would say, I would tweak that to say, what is your calendar to look like? Because your calendar shows you what is important in your life.
Yeah.
And
I think that's I
understand what you were
saying.
I think
that's a little bit different. I like that point.
But I understand what you were saying about...
I would make
like,
that a your, fourth point instead of...
I understand what you, because, but a lot of times, like, it's like, oh, this is my time. This is like what I want. Like, I'm carving this time out of my day's schedule because this is my own time.
I'm thinking about it less from a time perspective about, hey, this is my time. More about it as, what am I orienting my goods towards? What am I viewing as the good that I'm pursuing as entertainment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like the movies you watch, how much are you drinking? Like, what is, how am I choosing to receive pleasure in life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how, like, cause
how
that,
am I feeding my appetite?
That is just incredible. It shapes what you view as the good. And it also shapes what your mind thinks about all the time.
Sure.
So it's actually, I'm thinking about it less from a time standpoint and more about of like,
feeding
how
your
is,
appetites.
What is my mind oriented towards? Yeah. What appetites am I feeding? That's exactly right.
Yeah. And then look at your calendar.
And then, yeah. And then what you spend your time on says a lot about you as well.
Yeah.
Okay. That was good. Once again, I just want to really recommend this book. Solid Virtue is kind of a strange
by
name.
By Balake, Father Balake.
For Balake, yeah. It's A. Balekius S.J. Solid Virtue. I'm going to give another shout out to Koryesu Press because...
It's like the fifth shout out that we've given
they're
them.
Just all... Everything we get from them is like, man, this book is
they
awesome.
Have, they have a couple more books that I'm planning on ordering because they just keep putting out fantastic books.
I mean, this one, they just really, I don't know if they're new. I don't know really
they're
much.
They're all reprints. Yeah.
I mean, but the press, Koryesu Press. I mean, this one is just put out in 2024.
Right.
This book, Solid Virtue.
Right.
So
go check them out.
Go check them out.
And they don't pay us to do that. Like,
no, but they could.
They should.
I think that's a, Adam,
out of justice.
That's a great idea.